It's Will Sean Podcast. The internet cried out for two more blowhards, and they courageously answered that call. Armed with the weapon of wit, each week they're joined by guests to discuss movies, television, pop culture, and anything else that's pissing them off. Take it away, boys.
I'm Will Link.
And I'm Sean David.
And this is Will Sean Podcast?
Who gives a shit, because I'll be in New York City. How you doing, Will?
I found out, according to just people I talk to on the street, that my muscles are full of toxins, apparently. And this is why I'm getting headaches, because the toxins are stopping the blood flow to my brain.
This sounds like some hippie shit.
I'm buying into this. I usually don't buy into this. I'm buying into this. And I was told that I need to get a massage, like a professional massage. Have you ever gotten one of these?
I have. It's very unsettling.
See, I think I'd like it.
I'm not used to being touched for that long in such an intimate way by a stranger.
This seems to be some real issues in your past.
And an hour is a really long time to lay there.
I think this is what I need. I think I'll be loose. I'm no tense. Who's more tense than me?
You.
So, I mean, I'm going
to
try.
Now, are you going to go to, like, a spa? Are you going to go to the dudes in the mall with the chair? Or are you going to go to the van for $39 with the possible happy ending?
Is the van the cheapest?
No, the dude in the chair in the mall is the cheapest.
I was thinking of going to our mutual friend Polita and just asking her to give me a massage because she's a professional masseuse.
Or you could start dating a professional masseuse.
I need to meet a professional masseuse.
Good. Let's add more criteria to your...
I gotta get loose is the point I'm mean. I need to be loose. I am seeing a dominatrix this weekend.
Not the same.
Not the same.
No, that'll get you more tense and probably inject more toxins into your body.
Well, they might be the good kind of toxins. So what's going on in the world of Will Sean Podcast?
Well, I want to remind everyone that Cat Assistant has dropped, so you can now watch the... there's no cat pun in there. Amazing? No. Perfect Adventures.
The Perfect Adventures. Amanda Nix.
Amanda Nix's Cat Assistant. Give it a watch. It's very funny. Once again, Dylan Brody's book, Laughs Last, which I have read, is fantastic. I really recommend you buy a copy and read it. It's a fantastic story. It's well told. It's got a great ending, and it's very touching and funny as well. Alex Stein's book, No Mr. Bond, I Expect Your Dreams to Die. All of those are available on Amazon, and Road to 239. Keep those Facebook likes coming, because, you know.
We're up to 231.
Come on, people. You can do it. Click that button.
So like us on Facebook. Give us star ratings on iTunes, because apparently that helps in some way.
It helps other people find the podcast.
And also, if you are curious about the things that Sean just plugged from previous guests, go back and listen to the episodes. Dylan Brody, very funny man, very funny episode. Alex Stein. These are also people who perform around, if you live in Los Angeles, they perform around town at various storytelling or comedy shows and things like that. So go check them out.
Yes.
And who is our sponsor this week?
Well, Will, I'm sorry to announce that this week's podcast is in memory of someone.
Oh, no.
Yes, it's in memory of Hannah Montana, 2006 to August 25th, 2013.
Not Hannah.
No, Hannah's no more.
She was killed in a twerking accident.
It was terrible. On today's show.
On today's show, we're going to delve deep into twerking and the dangers of it when it's on an award show. We're also going to talk about, and Hannah Montana had one of these a while back, concert films. Who's going to see these things? And an actor has made a questionable career choice, and we're gonna dissect that. But first... We're very excited with us this week. They're with the Badass Bands blog, Jordan Robin and Jolynn Braswell.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Welcome, guys.
I was like, am I supposed to talk now?
Now is the time.
We have made eye contact, and we've removed you from the hyperbaric chamber.
I appreciate that.
Yes.
So you guys run a blog, like I just said, called Badass Bands Blog.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And you also book shows at the Silver Lake Lounge here in Silver Lake.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess you guys are big supporters of indie music.
Very big supporters. We're trying to create a community of badass bands that all kind of help each other and book shows together. And, you know, because we all know that mainstream music is clearly
we'll get to that.
Having its own issues.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So we try to support the independent artists.
And you get the bands, like you said, working to kind of together to support each other. Because you need that. Otherwise, We should do that with podcasters. We should get other podcasters.
That competition.
Yes. So I guess so that's a great reason to have this pod. But I guess let's get a little bit of your guys' origin. So John, I'll start with you. Are you from Los Angeles? Are you from here?
No, I am about as far from Los Angeles as you can be. I was born in Lubbock, Texas, and there are only a handful of notable musicians to ever come out of there, but Buddy Holly, one of them.
Oh, well, that's a big one.
So, yeah, Buddy Holly.
Hey, look how he ended up.
It worked out so well. And then Natalie Maines also. Look where she ended
up. Oh, look
what
she said.
Yep.
Kept her mouth shut.
I grew up there, and there were no big bands coming through when I was coming up. It wasn't, we never had big artists, so I fell in love with the guys I could go see at bars, you know.
Was that a lot of country music, though, or?
You know, a lot, yeah. I mean, a lot of it, the paying gigs were country.
Okay.
But a lot of the bar scene was regional bands. So it'd be like the Toadies or Mikey Likes It. Or unless you're from Oklahoma, Texas, or Louisiana, you've probably never heard of a lot of these guys. But those were the guys that I sort of fell in love with, and that's why I started working in music.
So then when did you come out here?
About 5 years ago.
Okay. Yeah. You like it?
I do. Well, I think living in L.A. is, you know, part of living in L.A. is hating L.A.
No.
It's part of what makes you a Los Angelino. I could be wrong.
This man was born and raised.
I'm a local. I happen to love Los Angeles.
You know,
crazy.
I do, but I also love how much hate I can have for it simultaneously. There is definitely a love-hate kind of thing happening in my
character.
Head.
Character. See, I'm different because I love to travel. I love to go to new places.
Sure.
But whenever I'm there, I can't help but find all the things that drive me nuts about that place that don't happen to Los Angeles. Even New York, I'm going to this weekend.
Sure.
Love that city. It drives me insane. I can never live there. It makes me crazy.
Hey, now you watch what you say about New York.
You're from Long Island.
It's New York. It's
Orange County, Los Angeles.
Anything Westchester and South counts, as far as I'm concerned.
The only Westchester I know is in fucking England.
So how about you, Jolene? You're not from Los Angeles either.
I am not from Los Angeles. I was born and raised in Central Valley, small town, 7,000 people, called Newman, and then I went to college in Fresno
Newman.
And lived there for 10 years. And then I finally made the move to Los Angeles, and I love Los Angeles.
There you go.
Absolutely
not
love it.
I came from
somewhere that had nothing. So
yes.
Then I come here and there's a million things to do. It's like, take my pick.
I need to be, all due respect to
Lubbock.
Lubbock, Texas. I need to be in a place that, and I'm sure they have, you know, Buddy Holly. Hey, that's great. But I need to be in a place where even if I'm staying in that night, that I know that I could go to a million
yes,
things
certainly.
If I went out.
Exactly.
Certainly.
So now, how did you two find each other?
So I've been running the blog for 2 years, and one of the bands that I featured, who I had known of for a long time, he was working with them at the time that I interviewed them.
And you're working with them as?
As an engineer and producer. So
okay.
I was recording them and working on a little EP project.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I went to interview them and hung out with them, and then Jordan hit me up a few days later, and he was like, hey, maybe we could work together and work out an idea. I have some cool things that we could do. Mm-hmm. And here we are.
And now you're doing this stuff together.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We do.
For what, 8 months now? 9 months? Almost?
Gosh.
So now you have the blog, and you mentioned podcast as well, and video podcast, so...
See, I'm still trying to figure out what to call it.
Okay.
Because people think podcast, and I think only listening.
Right. It's audio content.
Maybe, so I feel like maybe we should be like a vlog or something.
It's all up on there on the Badass Bands blog.
Yes.
So yeah, vlog.
Vlog.
Right?
Yeah.
Or
it's, well,
because there's visual.
It's content.
Yeah.
We have a website where we provide you with audio and visual and written content about indie bands.
Yes.
That,
absolutely.
You know, now is it only Los Angeles-based indie bands?
No.
Or? Okay.
All over. A lot of the ones, obviously, that end up being on the video blog are Los Angeles-based, clearly.
Right.
But,
or are in town.
But I've featured people from Canada, UK, New York, a lot of New York bands.
Anywhere there's good music,
exactly,
you
yeah.
will be there.
You know, here's my question, and I've had this issue since I was a kid. I always had this issue of how do you discover new music? How do you find new music? And my tastes have always run very, if not mainstream, then very pedestrian. I have never been very adventurous in my musical tastes. And if I do get adventurous, it's always like slightly after the, you know, so for example, I just discovered the Frank Turner Band, which I'm in love with, but I don't think he's, you know, radical.
Yeah.
But how do you, but I happen to really enjoy him. He's great. But how do you find, I was always overwhelmed by all the bands, all the music, and being able to picture, not picture, but being able to figure out what's good and what's bad. Mm-hmm. So how do you kind of sift through all that?
So I have kind of a cool story that goes with that, which is why I started the blog, because I was very mainstream for a long time. And then when I started college, I kind of got tired of it. It was the big Britney Spears era, the end of, like, the Backstreet Boys era, which apparently is still continuing, but all that stuff, yeah. And I was kind of just, like, I found music, I couldn't relate to it anymore.
Right.
I was just like, I'm done.
Gotta listen to opera.
Maybe. And yeah, so I kind of, like, took a break. Like, I didn't really listen to anything. I wasn't, like, really into any music for a while. And then I randomly came upon a band called 100 Monkeys. They don't exist anymore. But I happened to come down and go to their show at the Roxy. And I went, and they had these openers, and these were bands that I'd never heard of, and no one had heard of. And I was like, wow, like,
see, I had the exact opposite. You know, so the first concert I ever saw was at the Roxy. It was Bad Religion.
Nice.
Oh, that's nice. That's great.
In 1995, and it was blew my brain off. But so I used to go to a lot of punk shows. That was, like, the most hardcore thing I did. And the openers, I never liked them. They were always too loud. I always noticed that the main act, they were always mixed better. You could always hear them better.
They had
the
their openers, own engineer.
Yeah, exactly.
The openers were always very loud, and it was just a wall of sound. You couldn't really tell. Even if the music was good, you couldn't really tell.
Yeah.
And it just seemed like noise to stand around to.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's my question with
noise to
live,
stand around
to. With live music, it's also it's very hard to get sometimes a good sense of the band.
It is.
If they're not good live.
No, it's true. And I can only chalk it up to, like, what I look for when I go see. Because, I've seen plenty of openers that are shit.
Yeah.
I choose not to have a blog about shitty bands, so I only talk about the really good ones. But, yeah, I've seen plenty of crappy bands, and for me, it's just, what kind of stage presence do you have? Can you actually play your instrument, or are you just kind of jamming it and, like, doing something that I could do up there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Does the music actually sound good together? It's not the drummer playing one thing, a guitarist playing this, like...
Yeah.
There's something when it all comes together that you just know this is good.
I think you hit on something really crucial to discovering new music is not trying to worry about what's good or bad. It's so
what do you like?
It's what do you like. And the thing that Joe said that really drew me to her is she was like, I'm not a critic, I'm a professional fan.
Interesting.
You know, we are moved by the music we're moved by. We're not saying it's the best thing in the world, we're saying it's the best thing to our ears.
Okay.
And you know, people can agree or disagree, but that's the key to discovering a new band is just going in earnestly, and if it's a shitty opener, don't leave. Don't leave. Somebody booked that show. Somebody cares enough to do it. I guarantee if you'll sit through any show in L.A. any night, you'll find someone. Not that they're there yet, but that they...
You can see the potential.
Yeah, definitely.
Sean actually brought up something. He said his first concert. I got to ask you then. Like, what were your Jordan? What was your first concert?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles live on the Half Shell tour.
Nice.
Oh,
that was
go
4
Ninja,
years
go
old.
Ninja, go!
Exactly. Yeah.
That wow. Was,
yeah. I heard him call you Joe. Should I call you Joe?
You can, yeah. Most people do know me as Joe.
Whatever you say isn't going to be as good as that.
It's not. Mine's actually really embarrassing, kind of, now. But it was Backstreet Boys when I was in ninth grade. That's when they were big. So I was
the biggest thing to happen in Fresno.
Well, actually, they didn't even come through Fresno. We had to drive, like, 3 hours. My mom drove me to the show and went with me.
Where was it, the Cow Palace?
It was in San Jose, at the San Jose Sharks, like, arena. And so it was, like, this big production, but that was my first one ever.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Mine was Beck.
Okay.
Oh, you win. That's good. That's good.
I had a great Beck experience. Very long story short, it was at an Academy Awards party at the House of Blues. I got in through some people I knew. It was 21 and over. I was 17, and I had a backstage all-access pass.
Awesome.
And Beck performed.
Nice.
It was a corporate event, so it was just a bunch of baby boomers standing around. I ended up in the green room sitting at a table with Beck, who was drinking heavily, and Jesse Ventura, who was telling stories about the campaign trail. And I just sat there quietly with my badge, not wanting to look or talk to anyone because I was afraid they would realize I was under 21 and kick me out.
That's awesome. The thing that I think was great when I saw Beck is it was when Odelay came out.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It was like it was prime Beck.
Yeah.
You know. So then... because I was looking a little bit on the blog, and you talked about, like, on it a love of, like, punk and stuff like that. You mentioned The Clash, and you mentioned Green Day as being, like, an early
Green
CD.
Green Day
you
is
had.
My favorite band probably of all time. Just
nice.
About, yeah.
I've
Dookie.
Been never
yep,
seen
Dookie.
Them live,
first
and I'm dying
CD
to.
CD I ever owned.
Really?
Was Dookie, yep. And I didn't see them live. I got that when I was, like, 13. It was like a package deal. My uncles were musicians.
Oh, wow.
So they got me Dookie. It had just come out, and then my parents got me a CD player.
Ooh,
and I was very excited. And And then I never got to see them live until like 5 years ago, 6 years ago. And it was like, I had tried a few times and it never happened, yeah. never happened. And then finally I got to, and it was like the best concert I'd ever been to. It was like, oh my God.
Now, the mission statement basically on the blog, you say if you can turn one more person onto whatever band's music, then you've done your job. One of the things we talked about, you have these videos on there, kind of part interview, part performance,
part stuff
on there.
It isn't Van Nuys. That's what we film at.
Well, that is Spanish for shallow grave.
Now, Sean brought up a good point. Like, you know, this seems to be a great place for people to discover these bands. But, like, where do you... You guys also book shows at Silver Lake Lounge. Where do you find the bands to play these shows? Do people contact you and say, like, hey, we really want to play here? Or do you, like, hear...
Or on YouTube.
So, for mine... for my specific shows, like my actual Badass Bands blog present ones, they're all bands I have been featured on the blog. So I've already known them, and then I hook them up with shows, or they're coming up on the blog.
Okay.
So it's usually that way. For a while, I was just a booking agent there, and I would just see if bands would contact me, and I would find them a spot and work it out. But we also sponsor shows. We just finished sponsoring a couple shows at the Satellite with the Janks, and that was really awesome.
Nice.
Yeah, and we have, in September, I'm sponsoring a residency at the Echo. So But yeah, it's a combination. Bands reach out to me, and if I like them, awesome.
Yeah, and if you're in a band and you're listening to this, please reach out, because the best way, I mean, Joe goes to a lot of shows. I go to fewer, but I go to more than the average Los Angelino, I would say.
Probably. I think so. You're not 3 to 5 nights a week.
No, like, it's true. No, it's true.
Exhausting.
I love it, though.
Well, that's what these things, even like we were saying, I think, before we started, even us with the podcast, we find ourselves going to more comedy show, more storytelling, just because you got to go out there, you got to meet people, not only to book as guests, but also just to make your presence known in the industry.
Like, develop enemies.
Exactly.
Develop enemies.
At my day job, what I don't think they sometimes understand is, oh, well, you knew you had to work this morning. Like, why? No, going to a bar and having a drink with people, that's actually work. Like, in a weird way, it is.
I have a buddy who's working really hard as a comedian. When he first moved out here, he wanted to play the Comedy Store. So the first night he was in town, I said, let's make friends with the door guy.
Yeah.
And since then, he's kind of started to come up and do that thing. But we went and saw every damn comedy show. It's the only way. It's, you know, it's like anything else. If you want to do it, you want
to
learn
it.
They
also have to get to know you, and they have to get to see you around.
And that makes it easier.
Now, if you said if any bands are listening, but like what, I mean, is there a specific... Are you willing to give anyone a shot? Like, or like what is
Peruvian fiddle players?
I give anyone a shot, but here's what I don't like to see. When I get a submission, what I don't like to see is just a link. Like, no, hey, how's it going? It's a link. Like, and I had a really bad one, actually, once that I really deleted that. It said, isn't it cool that I smoke meth? And then a SoundCloud link, and I'm like, not cool. I'm not even going to take a chance on you.
Exactly.
What? But yeah, it's like just, I take a listen and... see what happens.
So instead of a link, what should they send you? A demo tape?
They can just say, hey. Isn't it cool that I smoke meth? Here's my sample.
So introduce yourselves.
Anytime I submit an essay, I always do maybe too long of a preamble, but I think it's better than not. It's better than being like, here I am.
Yeah.
Right. No, say how you heard of us, how we heard, you know, like what you're doing.
Or come out to show.
It can be three lines.
Exactly. Please come out to show. Just say, hey, how's it going? Here's my sample. You take a listen, and I do.
Now, you before the show, you told us some exciting news about coming up. I guess it would be next year. If you want to give a little little preview to that.
Yeah, I'm actually really excited. So, Badass Bands Vlog is going to have a South by Southwest unofficial showcase.
Nice.
It's going to be at a venue on 6th Street in the middle of all the action.
Sure, that's a fantastic thing.
It
sounds exciting.
It's going to be awesome. Free beer, awesome bands. Can't really go wrong.
So, if you're in Austin, Texas during South by Southwest time, which is
March.
March. Yeah.
There you go. You got to check out the Badass Bands blog showcase.
And we'll remind all you assholes out there about this when we get closer to it. You know, it's funny. I used to book bands at a bar. I was terrible at it. It was back on Long Island.
Were you like one that booked like the emo and the punk act on the same night?
No, I wouldn't do that. I would only have to book like one, maybe two bands or a thing. It was at this terrible bar that closed down because the owner snorted all the profits away. Geez. And I think I liked it because he gave me keys to the bar and I would just go there and hang out.
Nice.
It was great. Like it was a lot of fun. It wasn't Very good, but I'll give a shout out to some of those bands, like the Repercussions and the Space Robot Scientists.
What about Endangered Feces?
Endangered Feces was a band I was mentioning before. I was going to my friend's show once, and this band, Endangered Feces, they would throw toilet paper at the crowd, and the lead singer, who was wearing a kilt, he peed into a bottle and chugged it on stage.
Oh, my God.
Would you book that band?
If they sounded good, why not? You have some kind of theatrics happening. You'll get attention.
All I remember from the sound was just kind of a
Yeah.
One of those guys.
Yeah.
Now, who should we... Are there any upcoming bands that you feel that we should have on our radar? If you know, if we have to look, I know there's you champion everyone, but if there's a couple right now that you really think are on the rise and will soon become mainstream and out of your world, who should we? Who's the next fun?
The Janks, certainly.
They just came off residency this month at the Satellite, and it was packed every night.
Okay.
They're gonna be big time soon enough.
There's a band from San Diego called The Heavy Guilt that I'm just in love with.
Okay.
And they're actually coming back to Silver Lake Lounge on the 12th of September. So if you're in the area, definitely check them out.
You need to do something after 9/11.
Yeah, exactly.
See the Heavy Guilt.
The Heavy Guilt. Yeah, that'll help with your 9/11 feelings.
So before we move on to like all the topics and stuff, tell us, plug away. Tell us some things that are coming out. Tell us... I mean, I see a pad here. Maybe that has nothing to do with that.
No, this is all my stuff.
Notes.
I took notes because, you know, I am logistics, and my brain, it quiets the angry voices in my head.
I thought it might be a series of things you said I need to remember to say.
I have three pages of things.
Do you not drink?
No, that quiets the voices, too. I just...
All the information is up at badassbandsblog.com.
Yep.
So I guess I've just done the plug for you.
And on Facebook?
Facebook, Twitter.
And check out our allies. I own Riot at the Zoo, and then Reproductions Audio and Black Tie Studios. Definitely got to check those guys out. They're doing great stuff.
And if you are a good listener of the podcast, you have already been to badassbandsblog.com because you have seen the link on our Facebook page. You have watched some of the vlogs, which I think we've settled
on.
Hopefully, you know, guys, go out to some shows, support these fine people.
I think you and I should try to find some time. Maybe not September, a little busy. Maybe October. We gotta
October will be my birthday show, so that's gonna be a big
one. We may have to be there.
September gets busy. There's a lot of Jewish holidays that interfere with the schedule, but. Yes, we will be there, because we'll put our money where our mouth is.
Excellent.
We all of our guests, after they come on, we usually end up at that thing 3 months later. But we're there. We get there.
It just counts that you actually get there.
It's true.
It does.
We'll get there eventually. So, moving on to some of the topics of the week, let's talk about probably the antithesis of... What you... It's music-related, at least. I was actually very...
It's noise. It's noise.
It's some sort of music-type thing.
I was actually kind of excited that at least we had music people on for when these hit.
We did the experts.
This weekend, as you know, because it got a lot more coverage than Syria did, the MTV Video Music Awards happened. I mean, first of all, do you guys I mean, clearly like indie music, but you gotta like some pop music.
Of course.
Oh, yeah, we've got, there's a few in there.
Me, pop music is like the Black Keys. You know, I'm not into like
what about
Miley
Vampire
Cyrus.
Weekend?
No.
No, really?
I like Vampire.
He does.
Okay.
No.
Intellectual Jewish Upper West Side music. That's my jam.
Drinking hot chocolate.
A lot of loaded, heavy lyrics.
No, but that's interesting because a lot of this stuff that you might think comes out of what's an independent scene, then kind of just gets squalled up into pop.
It does.
Sure, yeah. No, and then, like, I like Bruno Mars, I'll say it. Huh? I'm a grown man who likes Bruno Mars.
Now, what about, what's his name? Blurred Lines.
I take issue with that simply because I'm a bigger fan of Marvin Gaye.
Okay.
And the whole show, what's really funny about it, Katy Perry. Ripped off Sarah Bareilles, who I love, and she was indie for. Okay, I'll leave it, but that kind of crosses the line.
And then the Blurred Lines ripping off quote unquote Marvin Gaye or homage.
He does its interpolation, and I think that is
interpolation is what happened in North by Northwest.
Okay,
now the one thing that positive out of the Video Music Awards that people were talking about was Justin Timberlake.
Throwing in Syncabone.
Yeah, threw in Syncabone.
Yeah, come out for a couple of minutes and get on stage and let me continue.
He did a 16-minute medley of his hits. They came out for 90 seconds.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
I guess they all had to shuffle off because, I don't know, they were waiting tables at the after party. They had to go get into their outfits or something.
You know, I will say this. I'm not like, I don't own any of his music. I don't listen. But, I mean, at least that's a guy who's talented,
he is talented.
And clearly works hard.
And charismatic, and it's not an asshole.
He gave me a cookie.
He gave you a cookie?
I work at an instrument rental company, and I was doing a delivery. I guess this was a year ago now. I was doing a delivery, just dropping off some guitars. I didn't know the artist. I was just dropping them off at Paramount Studios, and all of a sudden, coming down the stairs, there's this guy in sweatpants and a shirt, and he's got a plate full of cookies, and he eats a cookie, and he walks up, and he goes, "Is that guitar? Cool. Cookie?" Super. I was just like, "Yeah, I'll take your cookie, Justin Timberlake."
You heard it, Justin Timberlake, great fucking guy.
Man of the people.
Man of the people. Clearly, yeah.
You know who wouldn't give you a cookie? Fucking Bieber.
Bieber, he wouldn't.
Bieber would spit on you.
That's true. He might pee in a bucket and make you clean it up.
Well,
he might do that.
He scalped his own tickets. Did you know that?
Bieber?
He scalped his own tickets. So when you do a big show, like a big arena show, you get a certain amount allotted to corporate sponsorship, you get a certain amount allotted that are general sales, that sort of thing, and then the artist can request to have a general, like, allotment. So if you've ever wondered why you can't get tickets anywhere you really want to be, that's probably why you don't have American Express. So
it's everywhere you want to be.
Yeah, it is. So at a show, and I believe it was Nashville, I know it was in Tennessee, he had this exorbitant amount of, like, 5,000 personal tickets, and he put them up on StubHub at an elevated price.
And now, was it him or was it Scooter, his fucking manager?
It might have been. It might have been Scooter.
Either way, you want to know what Bieber has to take responsibility for.
You know what I'm saying? And this happened. I remember reading about this and just being like outraged, and just like, how could you? How disrespectful and like just so many nine types of wrong. Nobody seems to have given a shit at all because apparently it's pretty common practice.
The boy literally spit on his fans and they loved him.
Yeah. Yep.
He spit off a balcony onto his fans. Well, I think we're burying the lead with this MTV Video Music Award because Miley Cyrus made quite the spectacle of herself with Robin Thicke on stage.
Seemed like he wanted to be anywhere but that stage.
He looked like a fucking weirdo, by the way, on stage in his Beetlejuice outfit.
Oh, so great.
I love all the memes that people have posted when they just replace Beetlejuice behind her. It's so good.
You've already seen this, which is why you probably have gone blind. Well, Miley Cyrus doesn't seem to... Look, she could do whatever she wants, and I'm not going to begrudge some girl discovering her sexuality on stage.
Discovering her sexuality? She looks the kind of girl who likes anal sex, okay?
Gene Simmons said put that tongue away, man. That
tongue thing
bad.
Was ridiculous.
That was
and, it's, yeah. and it's long.
Yeah?
It's surprising.
But here's the thing. What she doesn't understand is there's a difference between being provocative and mm-hmm. being sexy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Madonna is someone who is able to pull off both.
Yeah.
I would even argue Lady Gaga could pull it off both.
Yeah, the shell bikini, that was nice.
Now, Miley Cyrus, you are neither of these people. I mean, I don't even know if I have a question here. It has to be brought up.
Well, she fucked a teddy bear.
Yes.
And
yeah,
then she stripped down to a latex skin-colored, I don't know, granny bikini. I don't even know what that was. And then she proceeded to fillet a foam finger.
You know, the good thing is that that's a great way for her to kick off her furry pedophilia tour.
Yeah.
So, you know, that really worked out in her favor, but that
she'll be big in the furry circuits. And she was just gyrating, and she looked like a girl. I don't even know how to say this. She looked like a shitty stripper. Like, she had all the motions down, but there was nothing sexy about it.
Exactly.
She was trying too
awful.
Hard.
Yeah.
Well, you want to know what? No one looks sexy twerking.
No.
Twerking, which I didn't even really know what this was till recently.
I didn't either.
No. Basically, so you've never twerked?
I've never twerked.
I have never twerked.
Twerking hard or hardly twerking?
It was just... I mean, I don't know. I don't even know. Was she even singing? Was there even a song?
You know, yeah, see, I watched it on a computer without speakers, and I feel like it was better somehow. Like okay.
I didn't even notice the music.
Yeah,
I was watching the train wreck happening. Like, I didn't notice what anything
when,
was
when playing. When Drake is looking down at the floor, you know you've done something wrong, because that man shilled out for Sprite. I mean, if Drake can't look at you, that's problems.
The Will and Jaden Smith family looked terrified.
That was so bad.
They looked like they were at the zoo and the tiger just mauled a guest.
Yeah.
Like, that's what that was the look on their face.
I don't even know who won any awards, by the way.
Oh, no. Spaceman.
Who votes on these awards?
Idiots.
Is there an academy? Who votes on
this? I have no idea. No,
yeah,
it's not an academy.
The Movie Awards is the one where people can vote.
Yeah, you can vote online.
I don't know who votes for this.
I bet it's a combination it's a combination of views of some sort, except nobody does music videos anymore, so that's kind of wrong.
The Viacom board of directors.
It's a combination of sales, which nobody's buying music anymore, apparently, so it can't be that. I have no fucking idea.
Well, for example,
I was wondering that all day.
There was one category, the Song of the Summer. Now, if you had to name, there was two standout options for what would be the Song of the Summer, Daft Punk or Blurred Lines.
Okay.
Daft Punk.
They gave it to? Now, this was one that was voted on by the
fans. Neither of them won?
One Direction with some song that came out 2 weeks ago.
Oh, was it Best Song Ever?
No, Song of the Summer. New category.
No. I'm saying, was the name of the song
maybe.
Best Song Ever?
I don't know.
Okay, because I have that in my... I got upset about the interpolation thing. I got upset about it because I was... I have a playlist on my phone that's just whatever's coming out on Tuesday. So whatever comes out, I just listen through it. And One Direction faked me out as hard as I have ever been faked out. I thought it was Baba O'Reilly. And I was like, they must have re-released it. And I mean, it's one chord change away. And it was like watching your grandmother being beaten to death. Like, it just really, like, stung me and made me very angry all the way.
Well, apparently, the guy from The Who, Roger Daltrey, has heard the song and gave his blessing and said, you know, it sounds similar, but if our music is an influence on another generation, that's great. This is like when Vanilla Ice ripped off Under Pressure. It was like, no, it's different.
No, it's one note, so it's one. But that's interpolation.
Yeah.
That's an homage.
We're
going to re-recorded.
We've got some One Direction news to talk about later, too. But let's get to what we brought up before, Katy Perry, because she's got this new song, Roar.
Yeah.
I don't know why I had to say it like that. but it sounds exactly like a Sarah Bareilles song, Brave. Like, exactly.
Can we talk about these stupid song titles?
Which one?
Well, they're both. They're all dumb. They're just like, they're fake female empowerment.
I yield to the woman. I let the woman speak. Creativity in titles.
My understanding of this is
that's pop marketing.
You want people to go,
that song, it said Brave a lot. What was it? Oh, it was The Curse of Anna Karenina. Like, that doesn't help. So, I mean, that's partially just the way you sell
it. The
Fitzgerald. Yeah.
Now, my understanding with these pop songs, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that a lot of them are essentially created in a factory, and they all come from... Most pop songs come from almost the same source.
Well,
and so they all kind of sound similar because they're coming from a beat factory.
You know CeeLo's Fuck You?
Yeah.
That was actually Bruno Mars.
Interesting.
Bruno Mars wrote that song, and I'm not sure of the exacts about it, but they were in the same studio, and Bruno decided he couldn't release it, or his management did, and so they subbed it over to CeeLo. And there's a lot... I mean, I was working with a guy named Alex Cantrell, and he was doing a documentary just about the songwriters of pop, and it was like 40 people.
Yeah, and they're all like in Finland.
No, we found some really cool people, but there was definitely like, it was like, oh, I did this hit, oh, I did this hit, oh, I did this hit. And once you sort of are aware that they're ghostwriting all these songs, you hear it. You're like, oh, that's part of that Timbaland song. Oh, that's the hook from this Rihanna song. But they are kind of, you know.
I feel like you had something to say about the Sarah Bareilles, Katy Perry thing. Because I don't particularly like Katy Perry. Do you like Katy Perry?
I don't like Katy. If I had to pick any pop star right now, it would be Lady Gaga.
I want to talk about that as well.
Yeah. No, I like Sarah Bareilles.
Jordan loves Katy Perry.
I won't say I hate. I understand the necessity.
Try not to smile while listening to Firework. Try not to smile.
I'll tell you honestly, I have never listened to that song.
Good song. Fireworks come out of reviews.
Nice.
Yeah,
well, that's
good.
That might be the most palpable of her songs.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
That's true. Yeah.
I gotta give
it
a listen.
But the rest of the songs are shit.
It's
too bubblegum.
The thing is, with what we do, like, there was a band I'd never heard of until last night, which is part of the fun of doing shows and going to shows. What were the Diamond
Light?
Diamond Light. Mm-hmm. The Diamond Light. Never heard of them. Didn't know what to expect. they fucking rocked my world.
And they ripped off Cerberus.
No, they ripped off nobody. I mean, they were fantastic. And then you see this, and it's like, okay, I would understand if you're the only person writing the song. You know, and but part of pop music is it's familiar.
Right.
It's a simplified process and it's pretty streamlined. You know, make the title catchy but simple. You know, it's gonna be four bars with any more. It's gonna be four bars with four, you know, beats on the bar. So it's like boom, 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 and you know, it doesn't have to make sense. But Sarah Bareilles, she writes these really heartfelt.
Not love song. She's not gonna write you a love song.
She won't. Which is a great song because it's a love note to her. Well, it's a note to her manager because he said we're not gonna release this without a love song. Yeah. And she goes, okay, fuck you. I'll write a love song that's not a love song. I think she's very creative.
I like that too.
And she has songs like Manhattan that. I'm a sad bastard music kind of guy. Like, yeah, I love sad bastard music. You know, it's really something that I have to deal with. But so she writes really good sad bastard
music. Would
that music.
Be sad bitch music?
Yes, yes. I guess in that context it would be. So,
so in the war between Katy Perry and Sarah Bareilles, we're on Team Bareilles.
I am.
Now, you mentioned Lady Gaga, and I happen to really... Here's the thing. We've been doing this now 81 episodes, and we've never really had a Lady Gaga conversation because I guess like we started like right before her last album came out.
Or right after it peaked or something.
Yeah, and it's like she wasn't, although she's in the news, she's never been so in the news.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but she's never gone away either. And she's got her new song that she performed there, Applause. Which, like every Lady Gaga song, the first time I heard it, I was like, okay. And then I realized, oh, it's stuck in my head forever.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And I appreciate, like, I remember watching that concert she did on HBO. Mm-hmm. I mean, she is someone who's out there putting on a show.
Yeah.
Like, she gives people their money's worth.
She would be who I would coin, and they've already said it. Like, she is the new version of Madonna.
Right.
She can pull it all off. She does it well.
But she can actually play an instrument, which matters a lot to me. She was a songwriter for years and never got it to.
And you see her on some songs like Speechless or stuff, just sitting there at a piano.
No, she played up against Elton John and carried herself.
Yeah.
That's fucking
she's
tough to
a
do, trainer. Man.
She's putting on a show, and her whole look, she's out there with that whole weirdo persona, but I kind of love it.
Either, you know, I mean, I feel like it's so tongue-in-cheek, and it's so, you know, it's almost, her performance is almost hyperbolic. It is almost to that extreme that it, you know, it's kind of high art.
We've talked about this before, the most radical thing Lady Gaga could do next is come out on stage in, like, a tank top and jeans and no makeup.
It's true.
Like, sing a song with a guitar.
It's true. You know what, though, I noticed about that performance in the VMAs, though? Like, I liked it in the very beginning of that, where she had, like, that weird thing
box.
On, and she had very little makeup, and she's, like, super beautiful. And I was like, wow, it's nice that you don't have all the craziness.
First of all, though, she was giving crazy eyes, though, in that.
That was true.
I also fall into the camp where I've always, from the beginning, I've gotten annoyed when people would like shit on Lady Gaga's looks.
Yeah.
Because my whole thing is if. My girlfriend looked like Lady Gaga, none of you would think she's unattractive.
Yeah.
Oh. And quite frankly, I like Lady Gaga in every way over Katy Perry. I'm more attracted to Lady Gaga.
Absolutely.
Let me say this.
The fireworks.
No, I think Lady Gaga's beautiful.
No, but I'm also shallow. Let me ask you this. Who would you rather sleep with, Lady Gaga or Katy Perry?
I feel like...
If you say Katy Perry, you're an idiot, and I'll tell you
why. I'm afraid Lady Gaga would, like, cut me in my sleep.
She might.
Yeah.
And I'm into that in a good way. I'm into
that.
Yeah, Lady Gaga would be exciting, crazy sex.
And I'd be terrified.
Katy Perry, I guarantee you, just lies there.
And texts.
Like a log. You know why? Because she has all that candy and all the... kittens and kids, because she's sexually repressed in some weird way from her religious background. Like, that's all, like, she's stunted
Man.
Sexually, where Lady Gaga is sexuality.
You have really thought this out.
I'm pretty impressed, actually.
I think about this every night. Well, I want to move on, because,
Truth question, Miley Cyrus.
Ooh.
The summer movies have been a little, you know, I mean, there's been a lot of great movies, but the box office hasn't been as what they wanted. We had a lot of big bombs for good reason, like Lone Ranger didn't deserve to do well, and it didn't. You know, a lot of big bombs.
That's fine.
So, the movie of the summer that will save the summer comes out this weekend, and it is the One Direction concert film. Now,
1D, 3D.
Directed by Academy Award nominee Morgan Spurlock.
So, of,
really?
Yeah, of Super Size Me.
Yes.
What?
He just took them on their whole concert tour. All they ate was McDonald's for 30 days.
I would watch that movie.
I
would
watch that.
That's
too.
By the last day, they're just sweating, going into like hypoglycemic shock on stage. They're all diabetic.
Now, here's the question, and let me ask this. Over the past few years, we've had a lot of concert films. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but it's always like the Hannah Montana concert film. It's the Jonas Brothers. It's the
Bieber.
Katy Perry was the big. Every summer, it's like they release a big Katy Perry. Mm-hmm. Was last year where she had all her candy colored bullshit. Gone, it seems, are the days of like, and I mean really gone, like before I was born, like the days of like Woodstock or The Last Waltz or these like kind of, you know, Scorsese had that Shine a Light documentary, which I went to go see the wrong sense.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
there have been some good U2, because they did the U2 IMAX.
But that,
I miss
concert
film.
I just feel like, do you ever think to go see a concert? If like a band you really like put out a concert film.
The Green Day did a concert film.
No, I'd rather go to the concert itself than to, like, even though, there might be this cool backstage footage or something. It's like, do I really need to go pay $15 and sit in a theater to watch it? I'd rather see it happening in front of me.
This is why I like to do shows.
Yeah,
this is what I was saying earlier, is that I never got to see big artists, so I didn't have that weird 14-year-old intensity that you can only have for things you idolize.
Yeah.
I never had that for big artists because, A, my parents were, you know, they listened to classical music, so all the music I found was through my older brother, and most of those bands had been dead for 20 years. But then, you know,
this Buddy Holly guy's pretty good.
He's pretty good. I want to see this guy. But no, it's, you know, I would rather, I would much rather pay, you know, $10, $15 to see a good local band. Or to go see, you know, even some regional band. You know, there's something really special about being there and being a part of it. And when they say, all right, on four, everybody scream back, and you do, and you dance, and you see other people dancing, you know, you can't do that in a theater.
But that's also still, even living in a city like Los Angeles, you're still only going to be able to see so much. I mean, for example,
sure.
I had a friend in college that he loved concert DVDs, and he always had in his room on his TV, he always had a Dave Matthews concert, a Bruce Springsteen concert, he always had it playing. And I don't think there's anything wrong with going to see a concert film because it doesn't take away from your experience of live music. I think it's an additional way to see a performance, to see the theatricality of a band that you love captured on film.
Do you own any concerts?
I have. I mean, I have The Last Waltz. I have a Bruce Springsteen concert DVD. And I have, I think, Fleetwood Mac, The Dance, that I stole from my parents.
I have a Pixies one.
Nice.
And I have the only other one was like on a... Like, I bought a Regina Spektor CD, and it came with a DVD of her concert, so I sat there and I watched it.
Yeah. So, but no, I won't necessarily go out of my way to buy a concert.
I mean, there'd have to be a lot of good behind the scenes.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
It would have to
something
be
something that I would never, ever see anywhere else.
I think the concert films are time capsules as well.
That's the thing. I think it would be hypocritical to say that I don't enjoy concert films.
Yeah.
But if we're talking about preference, I mean, we make concert films in a way. You know, that's sort of what we do, is we want to show people what these guys are like live without all the trappings, without all the bullshit.
Yeah.
So I think it would be, you know, hypocritical to say that I don't enjoy them. I mean, dude, I fucking shot that. The Beastie Boys at Madison Square Garden is amazing because I had tickets to the Hollywood Bowl show right before he had cancer.
Yeah.
And that would have been, you know, that would have been the last time. And, you know, like... there's something really special to that, but it's just not the same.
Now, there's this Metallica movie coming out, which is actually interesting. I'm blanking on the name of it now.
Through the Never.
Oh, you have it written down.
I do.
Because that is, they have, like, it's going to be concert footage and their songs, their performances, but it's going to be cut up with a story about, like, a roadie.
Yeah.
So that could be pretty cool.
Or it could be a disaster.
Or it could be awful.
See,
I don't know.
I would be really excited about it if it was a time capsule. If it was, like, you know... Injustice for All.
Yeah,
that would be pretty rad. But I just.
But I give him credit for trying to present the concert film in a different way.
No,
so you don't want to see today's Metallica. You want Metallica from 15 years ago.
The music industry has got to change. It's got to start doing something different and earnestly doing something different, not just as a cash grab. You know, it's become it's a business. I'm not sugarcoating that. So it's making films, but people still make exceptional films.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's a lot of pollution in the music industry that I feel. and maybe I'm wrong on this, that was very similar to the 90s in the film industry. There was a lot more pollution. There was a lot less avenue.
Because people look back at the 90s like, oh, independent film, Sundance.
Well,
Quentin
that's
Tarantino,
what I'm saying,
Robert
but it was
Rodriguez.
Sort of the turning point that it kind of started to really
when it came out of the 80s, it was in
exactly.
weird shape.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so there were these, you know, weird kind of big budget things, and then there were these great indie films. And right. it was sort of, and I feel like that's what's happening. You know, look at like a band like Mumford & Sons. Whether you like them or hate them, you wouldn't have heard them on the radio 4 years ago. You wouldn't have.
That's true.
No. There was no room for them. You look at, Florence and the Machine.
Yeah.
Even Imagine Dragons. Yeah. You know, I feel like they're kind of bridging the line, but I feel like they wouldn't have gotten a fair shake.
You have hope.
Oh, yeah.
We wouldn't do this. This is, yeah. we spend money, we spend time, we lose sleep. I mean, this is a passion project because I've got to believe that it can get better.
There are the people out there that are willing to take the chance. You just have to.
Well, you got
to
believe.
You have to.
Anyone.
You got to believe.
Oh, God.
Anyone who doesn't believe, I think their minds are going to be changed when they see the One Direction.
Yeah, do you? What do they do? Do they play instruments or do they sing?
No, they're
like Backstreet Boys. Status.
Yeah, the songs are written for them, but apparently they're all musicians. But I don't know if you could tell it by.
Right. Well, by that measure, Katy Perry's a musician. Oh, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like that's kind of a loose.
Yeah.
To be fair, at least I haven't seen them do anything like obnoxious like Bieber's been doing. They haven't. To be fair, at least they seem to be.
So far.
Themselves.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Jonas Brothers were not ever my taste in music, but at least they were nice.
And there's a niche for, you know, there's always going to be the boy band.
Oh, sure.
The boy band will always be with us.
Yeah.
No, I mean,
that's true.
Oh, and you can look back at, you know, songs like My Girl, or, you know, and those
the
were
Four
boy,
Seasons.
Yeah.
The Four
Seasons.
Yeah.
The Four
the Jackson
Tops,
Five.
The Jackson Five. Those are all boy bands.
Hell, you can
all...
even argue that the Beatles was a boy band.
You know, and they're really part of their career. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So. If you guys don't mind, we're going to shift gears from music for a minute.
Of course.
We're going to talk about. Have you ever heard of an actor, Ben Affleck?
No, never.
This young man.
I've heard of a good director.
I'm going to tell you about him. It is a young man named Ben Affleck, and he was in some.
It's a Boston boy.
Boston boy. He was in some films like Dazed and Confused and Mallrats. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was coming up, and him and his buddy Matt Damon, they wrote this script. So they could act in it of this movie called Good Will Hunting, and you know they won Oscars for the screenwriting. Good for them. And Matt went on to become an Oscar nominated actor, and he just took on great role after great role, and has become this we all know Matt Damon. Ben went a different route, and Ben started movies, big overblown movies like Armageddon. He played like Jack Ryan. And then he started doing even worse movies. Mm-hmm. And he was Daredevil, the blind superhero. Who doesn't want a blind superhero?
God.
Did a movie called Paycheck.
Paycheck, which he did, I believe, for
I
Paycheck. and Geely. Oof. And poor Ben. You know, his career didn't go the way he thought it was. And then he said, I got to turn this around. And he worked his butt off.
Mm-hmm.
And he, every day, was working on the script and this movie, Gone Baby Gone, which he then went and he directed. And it was a really good film. And that same year, he was in the movie Hollywood Land, where he played George Reeves. And it was like, oh, this is solid. He took a smaller part here, an interesting part. And Ben Affleck, and then he does The Town, where I think he gives both a pretty good performance, and it's a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then he does Argo, and everyone loves it. Everyone goes crazy for it. It wins Best Picture. It's a terrific film. Ben's not bad in it either, and it's just, we're like, Ben Affleck, Hollywood loves you again. And he won another Oscar, an Oscar for producing.
Mm-hmm.
Take that, Matt Damon. Well, this week, Ben Affleck made what I find to be a puzzling career choice. This week, we found out a while back that Batman was going to be in the new Superman movie.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's like, oh, Batman in a Superman movie. Oh, and they're like, oh, what is this going to be? Is this the Frank Miller storyline? Is this going to be great? Like, what is this going to be? Who's going to be Batman? Well, we found out. It's Ben Affleck. Ben Affleck is going to be Batman. And Ben, I know you're listening. Why? Why did you want this? Why did you want to take on this role? I don't understand, because we've just come out of what is probably the greatest superhero trilogy of all time. The most respected, certainly. Christopher Nolan's Batman. And, you know, Warner Brothers, in a move to make money and keep things going, they want to inject Batman into this. And everyone already had sour feelings in the back of their head about this. Like, well, what is this going to be? And is this just a money grab? And who comes to grab the money? You come to grab the money. You take on this role. You know you're going to be scrutinized. You've just turned your career around. It's a no-win situation for you, really, as far as respectability goes. I don't know what you were thinking. You worked so hard to gain our respect back, and then you come and you shit it all down the toilet by playing another superhero like you did with Daredevil. And if you give Batman the Daredevil treatment, you'll never recover from this. And that is why you, Ben Affleck, are the enemy of the podcast. Fuck you. What are you doing? What are you doing with the Dark Knight?
So are you telling Ben to Argo fuck himself?
You know, he's a really great director. And
can't you have a little bit of hope? Can't you feel somewhere in there that he's making a calculated decision? He's read the script. He knows what's expected of him. He's talked to George Clooney, who had his own little bat misadventure. He's talked to Matt Damon. Maybe he's going to surprise us. Get a little hope.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Everybody said the same thing about Heath Ledger as the Joker.
Yeah.
And that's one of the best villain. That's one of the best turns as a comic book character at all.
Yeah, but Heath Ledger didn't bomb as a superhero already.
I heard that.
You know, but I think that's the thing. It's like, you know, he was... I don't know. I feel like I'm not for it. I saw Daredevil. I loved Daredevil as a kid. I was not pleased with Mr. Affleck.
It was 10 years ago.
I know.
But you know what? Wow. He better do a good job. Otherwise, he's fucked up.
By the way, did you hear he announced he's doing the whole role? This is very controversial. In blackface.
He's the Dark Knight. Now, to be fair, when Michael Keaton got the part also, everyone went nuts. And I read an article about how, you know, we didn't have the internet then. We didn't have the... And people, like 50,000 people, like hand wrote notes into Warner Brothers to get rid of Michael Keaton as Batman. So that's really committed. Like now it's easy to complain. I just send a tweet. You know what, Sean? I do have some hope that he does know what he's doing. And look, we haven't seen the script. We don't know what this role is. We don't even know how big it is. Because remember, it's a Batman and a Superman movie. But I still don't understand why. If he pulls this off,
it would be the ultimate fuck you to Hollywood.
It would be
the biggest franchise and pulling it off and getting the artistic and now the commercial success. I mean, I think if he does this, it's...
Can you see him as Bruce Wayne?
Yes, I actually can. I remember what they're saying about Robert Downey Jr. before Iron Man.
He has the jaw, that's all he's got.
But that's different.
He knows how to be charming, he knows how to play rich, how to be charming.
Wait a second.
Bruce...
There's a darkness to Bruce Wayne also that I think Bale conveyed really well. That's going to be fresh.
The barking was part of it. Yeah.
And here's the thing, Robert Downey Jr., Iron Man wasn't Batman. There wasn't as much invested in it.
Well, and Iron Man as a character has a fair amount of hubris, which, you know, if you've ever known anything about Robert Downey Jr., you know, at that point it was the perfect film to remake because it was a transitional piece. It was about a man who had everything, who kind of pissed it away and then had a life-reaffirming action and, you know,
I think Ben Affleck can do charming, and I think he can do... He's a charming motherfucker, and he's a smart guy, and he's savvy, and he's been beaten up enough.
I've never been a hater.
Yeah.
No, I've always been on his side, you know? And go back, he did a movie, Changing Lanes. He gives a great performance in that. It's kind of dark and edgy.
Yeah.
I think he's got it in him. And you know what? He's got Garner on his side.
I thought...
Sidney Bristow.
Who was also in a terrible movie.
I thought they were going to go with somebody even a little more grizzled, though.
Orlando Bloom?
That was a rumor.
They were talking John Hamm.
John Hamm?
But he's a little too old.
He's a little too old, but damn it, that would have been good. That would have been perfect.
Well, they're talking... Apparently, Bryan Cranston is Lex Luthor.
I'm actually okay with that. I love him. I think I was talking to Will.
We're already used to seeing him bald.
Yeah.
Just shave the facial hair off, and there you go.
Have they said who Superman is?
Henry Cavill. That guy looks like Superman when he's coming out of the water and he's picking up the laundry off the line.
Didn't see it.
I didn't see it either.
Okay. There's a fundamental problem with the Superman movie in that
I didn't like it actually.
No, I didn't either. To do a Superman movie, you have to raise the stakes to such a degree that it doesn't even exist in the plane of comic book movie. You know, he killed hundreds of thousands of people, probably. I mean, odds are.
We talked about this on the show also already, that it really does feel like they don't think Superman could carry his own movie, so they put Batman
in.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
A couple of other people thought, I wonder, what about Josh Brolin? Older, more grizzled.
Yeah, I can see that. As Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, but see, he's got that thing. He's kind of got that enigma to him. Ben Affleck, one of the things that he does really well is he kind of reads like a book. You can kind of see, you know, you just have that feeling
about him. Gears turning.
Yeah, you see the gears turning. But with Josh Brolin or somebody like that, I wish that...
Well, he's quite an enigma when playing W.
Yeah. Well, I think Aaron Eckhart would have been the...
But he's already
been the Two-Face. I know, but he would have been perfect. He's even got butt chin.
I called my Batman expert Pete Grass back on Long Island. I mean, this was, you know, his you know, he's got Batman tattoos, he's got toys, his son is named Grayson.
Nice.
He threw out one that I thought was an interesting. He threw out Jeffrey Dean Morgan would have been a good one. He said, especially if they're going with we don't know what this is yet, but he said if they were going with more of a... Because he did a good job as the comedian. He's worked with Zack Snyder. Yeah. He's also known but not known, so it's not... It wouldn't cause a big...
He wouldn't come with all the affluent baggage?
Yeah.
You know, I...
Okay.
Yeah.
I got an idea for you. Ready? Idris Elba.
Oh, black man.
He's going to do it in whiteface.
So we'll see. Listen, it's 2015, people, so calm the fuck down.
So we'll be talking about this on, like, episode...
170.
Yeah, of the podcast. Well, before we go, before we wrap things up, I always like to end with a weird little story. A British man named Malcolm Myatt has been left in a permanent state of happiness. He had suffered a stroke, and the stroke has left him unable to feel sadness. So he just laughs spontaneously, even at funerals, which sometimes rub people the wrong way. I'm all for people being happy, but this sounds like a fucking nightmare. Both to be him and to know him. I mean, maybe he doesn't see it that way because he's always happy.
Yeah, exactly.
Spoken like a true New Yorker.
Yeah.
I mean, could you deal with such an affliction?
I don't know. I don't know.
If I said, we'll give you eternal happiness.
It's overrated.
I think so, too. Like, there has to be some balance. How are you going to know what the real happiness is if you don't feel the...
spectrum
sadness.
Of all
yeah,
human
exactly,
emotion.
Exactly, exactly.
You said you like sad bastard.
I like being sad too much. I enjoy being sad far too much. So
speaking of like laughing at funerals, I'm a nightmare to have at like a funeral or a wake because one of the ways I deal with like pain and sadness is through jokes. And so I'm the asshole in the corner making like I was at a wake and I just like literally biting my tongue because I had a comment, I had a joke about everything, and I had to just know not to say anything.
When I got divorced, when we actually decided that we were divorcing, like, there were so many jokes because that's how we were dealing with it. Like, we were telling jokes about all this stuff, like splitting our stuff up and all this stuff, and that's how we dealt with it.
Yeah.
Don't watch a scary movie with me. If I'm uncomfortable or nervous, I laugh.
You poop? Oh.
Well, that too. That too. You poop.
Scary movie you should go see, mm-hmm. You're Next.
Okay.
Really enjoyed it.
All right.
Really great.
Scarier movie? One Direction.
Yeah. 1D, 2D.
1D, yeah.
1D, 2D.
So we agree we need a little sadness and darkness in our lives, and Malcolm Myatt, you know. Well, I'd tell him to go fuck himself, but he would just...
Well, thankfully, the world has given us Miley Cyrus. So there's your sadness and darkness.
That's honestly, that is the... that is this complete spectrum there, that performance. Just watching her in that performance, that is every emotion comes over you that's known to man.
Oh,
that's
God.
True.
So it's okay that I was weirdly aroused by the whole thing.
Yeah, she has a 3D movie coming out where she steps that up even
further.
More
like a 3D booty.
It's 3D DP. It's really intense.
I want to see that. Sean, I think we should start a Kickstarter for a twerking documentary.
Oh, my God.
And we should go and...
called Minute Twerk.
And it's about where we find the great twerkers of people popularized, and they try to teach us how to twerk.
Well, I think that's going to be one of the plot lines in the Step Up film.
What was that movie that they did about, they did it in South Central about the the dance. Oh, what is that dance?
It was so great. Lock.
Yeah, it was so crazy to watch. I don't feel like twerking would equate.
Hustle and flow?
No.
Hustle and flow.
I mean, twerking. So what have we learned today?
You know who
here,
twerks
people?
Like a champ? Andrew Marchant.
Andrew Marchant does. Terrific musician, Andrew Marchant. And terrific twerker.
She's going to kill us.
What have we learned? We've learned about twerking today. We've learned about, Batman. And we've learned about badass bands blog.com. So before we go, even though, again, I just said it, I keep saying it, but I want to hear you guys say it. Before we go, plug away. I want you guys to plug. Joe, plug.
Okay, badassbandsvlog.com, facebook.com/badassbandsvlog, @badassbandsvlog on Twitter. We have Instagram @badassbandsvlog.
Nice.
Our next show is September 5th at Silver Lake Lounge.
Also, and where is
sponsoring,
that?
That is on Sunset Boulevard, corner of Sunset and what's the street
Silver
that goes
Lake?
Under?
Silver Lake.
Is it Silver Lake Boulevard?
Yeah.
There you go.
There it is.
And that's it?
Yeah, I'll be sponsoring a night at the Echo with a band called Free Energy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what date that is yet, but it's this month or this coming month as well. And then South by Southwest.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a personal Twitter?
I do have a personal Twitter @thesongisyou.
Ah.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Jordan finally has Twitter too.
I do.
It took a while.
@RiotAtTheZoo.
At Riot at the Zoo.
Riot at the Zoo is my company.
I'm gonna tell you this right now.
Uh-oh.
Every week I tweet a lot about the... I mean, you probably saw already.
I tweet a lot about
the podcast and stuff like that. If I include both your Twitter handles and @BadassBlog in it, there will not be any more characters. So when I tweet about this, I'm probably just going to tweet a lot of @Badass and
that's
Blog.
Fine. That's fine.
That's
fine.
Okay.
That's fine.
Yes.
So,
that's
totally anyone okay. Include my name, too, or I get offended.
Okay, so anything else in, you want to say?
I just want to plug some bands.
Yep. Do it.
If you're out and you want to see good shows, the Janks, top of the list. Space Race, they're amazing. They're up and coming. Mars and the Massacre, they're out on tour, but they'll be back in a few weeks. God, now I'm blanking.
I know,
Animal Collective, Inch Chua, Jerome Holloway. Yeah. Did I say the Absolute? I said the Absolute.
No, you didn't say the Absolute.
Oh, the Absolute, the Heavy Guilt, they'll be coming through town again.
Soft White 60s
from San Francisco, they're absolutely fucking fantastic. I'm getting the Oscar music now. But, yeah, so,
yeah,
exactly.
Wait, what am I trying to say?
Go see all these shows.
Go see all these shows.
Just go see a show.
Yes. Go see a show, people.
Go see a show.
Go see a comedy
show.
If your friends invite you to a damn comedy show and you know you don't want to go, don't be a bitch. Go to one show. Pick one night out of every 2 weeks that whatever you're invited to on Facebook, you pick something and you go. And you stay.
That's fair enough. And I think staying is important, too.
Whenever we go
to, like, any of these, we do essays, if we go to, like, an open mic thing or something like that, we always stay till the end.
I always get up and walk out right as the last person's, like, right in the middle of their thing. I gotta be driving. I don't have time for this shit.
And all these bands that you just mentioned, can we find out more about them on Badass Bands?
Sure. Yeah. You try to plug as many shows as possible so you can find something.
So basically just make that your source. Go to that.
Please.
Check it every week and see what's new.
Yes.
Get some music in your ear.
Sean, plug the things that you need to plug.
You can follow me at Twitter @TheSeanDavid. My book is available on Amazon Kindle, Triumvirs, TRIUMVIRS. I will be performing at Shetty's on September 11th. A new essay about my lifelong obsession with reading, some would say unhealthy. And, that's pretty much it. I'll be in New York this weekend, so...
So go find him in New York.
Go find me. I'll be on the Upper West Side.
Easy enough to find.
Exactly.
He'll be the guy from L.A.
Confused and bitching about something.
You can follow me at The Real Will Link. You can also listen to me every Tuesday at 4 p.m. on The PM Show with Larry Minetti at crntalk.com. You can also read articles of mine at the website youonecan.com. Can is spelled like the city in France, of course. It's a film blog. Would you think it was just C-A-N? You're an idiot. You can also I will also be performing same night as Sean at Tattletales at Chetty's September 11th. We're the Twin Towers of comedic essay readings. We'll be. I'm from New York. I could make that joke. But I'll be reading an essay that night. I think I'm gonna read about the worst or best New Year's Eve I ever had. I think that's the story I'm gonna go with.
Really, not about how you pulled people out of the rubble?
No, it won't be about that.
Okay.
Now we've let me tell you what, the guests were with us, and we finally...
we did it!
Finally, we caught in the last one. Also, I will be performing September 22nd at Tell It, which is a terrific other storytelling show. Details will be posted soon on the Facebook page, but... For now, mark your calendar, September 22nd. Tell It! And it's said like that with an exclamation point at the
fuck
end
that.
Of it. Next to fuck that.
I said that. Fuck that!
With
an exclamation point at the end of it.
Thank you. Next week on the show, you're going to be stuck no guests. It's going to be just me and Sean. Why is that? Because it's that time of year where we break down the Emmy nominations. We're going to tell you who we think is going to win.
Lay your bets, people.
The safe bet would to be here, what we think will win, what we think almost will win, and go what we think will almost win, because we'll never be right exactly on our picks. That's the safe way to do it. But it'll be a fun episode. Watch TV, people.
Yeah.
Also, the week after that, it's a big one.
Speaking of TV,
we have TV's Nick Wexler. He is a returning champion to the podcast. He was all the way back in episode 14, but he's coming back. You know and love him as Jack Porter on the hit ABC show Revenge. And he's going to come back to tell us what the new season has in store. That fucking cliffhanger. If you don't watch Revenge, catch up
about
on all
baby.
Two seasons of it. Now, we're going to hear stories about acting with a baby. We're going to hear about his Teen Choice nomination. And we're going to get to hear the speech he would have given if he had won. So, yeah, so that should be good. So that's a big one. And they're all big ones. And you guys were terrific. Jordan, Joe,
Jojo.
Thank you so much again.
Thank you for having us.
And absolutely. For the Will Sean podcast, I'm Sean David.
I'm Will Link.
And we're finished.
We're finished.